This is Audiophile Magazine, providing news and reviews of recent releases of audiobooks. I'm Sandy Henschel. Hello, and welcome to today's readings from selections from the October-November issue of Audiophile Magazine. On this program, you'll hear reviews in drama and the classics, including a review of Lee Blessing's provocative play, A Walk in the Woods. It's performed by Alfred Molina and Stephen Weber. After that, we'll hear Caitlin Augusta's column Tease and reviews in romance, including Billy Fulford Brown's earphones-winning reading of The Austin Playbook by Lucy Parker. Let's get right to it. Our first review today is an earphones winner, and as you know, Audiophile awards earphones to truly exceptional presentations that excel in all the following criteria: narrative voice and style, vocal characteristics, appropriateness for the audio format, and enhancement of the text. Our first review today is the classic, The Scarlet Pimpernel. It's read by Bill Homewood, and it's an earphones winner. Listeners become immersed in the dramatic days of the French Revolution and the rush to save aristocrats by the League of the Scarlet Pimpernel. Through the narration of Bill Homewood, listeners will puzzle over the identity of the Scarlet Pimpernel, agonize with Marguerite over the fate of the brave hero, and worry about the evil plots of the villain Chauvelin. Though the story demonstrates some sexist views of women's abilities and roles, for the most part, in the 1905 work, it remains enjoyable for today's audience. Further, through this outstanding audiobook, both unfamiliar listeners and those who have worn out their reading copies will experience the story in a special way. Victoria Mejia Guiu wrote that review of The Scarlet Pimpernel. It's read by Bill Homewood, and it's an earphones winner from Naxos Audiobooks for 10 hours unabridged. Next, we have in drama and the classics, Hemingway Stories. It's by Ernest Hemingway, read by John Bedford Lloyd. Hemingway was one of the great short fiction writers of the last century, and even his least known stories reward the listener. This audiobook includes stories that were not collected in the author's lifetime, a very few early and others from his last decade or so. There are also three stories never before collected: A Room on the Garden Side, Indian Country and the White Army, and The Monument. John Bedford Lloyd captures the slightly flat tone of Hemingway's style, leaving the plain language and bare narrative to draw us in. Many of the stories draw on the author's experiences, and with Lloyd's able help, allow listeners to dig deeper into his character. There is also a rare Hemingway love scene. David Harris wrote that review of Hemingway's Stories by Ernest Hemingway, read by John Bedford Lloyd. It's available from Simon & Schuster Audio for 11.5 hours unabridged. Our next drama classic is A Room with a View by E.M. Forster. It's read by a full cast. E.M. Forster's 1908 romantic satire about Brits of the middling upper crust is famously sharp, funny, silly, and benevolent. L.A. Theatre Works' scripted adaptation honors all of the novel's best qualities, with a slight emphasis on the plot's silliness, which shrouds but does not obliterate Forster's social commentary. No matter how you listen, for madcap froth or to skewer the bourgeois pretensions, there is much to relish in this production about Britons abroad and at home. Eleanor Tomlinson's Lucy is naive and sincere. Julian Sands, who played young George in the 1985 film, returns believably as George's bluff, kind father. Eugene Simon does a soulful turn as George. Rosalind Eyre's Aunt Charlotte is heartbreakingly snobbish, and Matthew Wolfe's Cecil Vyse is perfectly pompous. Enjoy. Aurelia Scott Smith wrote that review of A Room with a View by E.M. Forster. It's read by a full cast, available from L.A. Theater Works for 2 hours, unabridged. Next, we have A Walk in the Woods. Playwright Lee Blessing wrote it, and it's read by Alfred Molina and Stephen Weber, and it is an Earphones winner. The recorded performance of this provocative play from the Cold War era shines with wit. Alfred Molina's vocalizing of a worldly wise and weary Russian is especially effective. You can hear Moscow in his voice. Stephen Weber's earnest American from Wausau, Wisconsin, aptly performs the foil friend. A duologue, the play shows the irony of the pair's woodland strolls as they discuss geopolitical negotiations in between long, very funny repartee on their respective countries, on Switzerland, the setting, and on the reality of superpowers that don't really want to end nuclear proliferation. This fine and timely production also features a discussion between the playwright and Professor Richard Anderson that frames the issues of this Soviet-era play with the remarkably different reality of today. This is a compelling and entertaining audiobook. Alan Minskoff wrote that review of A Walk in the Woods by Lee Blessing. It's an Earphones winner, read by Alfred Molina and Stephen Weber, and it's available from L.A. Theater Works for 1.75 hours as an audio program. Our next review is Greek Mythology Explained, A Deeper Look at Classical Greek Law and Myth. It's by Marios Christou and David Ramena, and it's an Earphones winner, read by Derek Perkins. Listeners will be rewarded by these compelling and sometimes dark tales. Derek Perkins deftly narrates an entertaining and absorbing audiobook with subtle shifts in pace and intonation that bring the great and small to life. He artfully emulates the gods and goddesses along with their mortal children and creates these famous characters fully formed. Here, Odysseus battles his conscience and monsters. Bellerophon succumbs to hubris. Artemis is fooled by her jealous twin Apollo. The figures of mythology are adroitly explained and placed in a modern context by the author's short essays after each story. So Icarus looks for immediate gratification, Medusa is seduced by Poseidon, Lamia lives out her life in peevish and murderous solitude. Perkins' portrayals of these characters linger in one's mind. Alan Minskoff wrote that review of Greek Mythology Explained, A Deeper Look at Classical Greek Lore and Myth. It's written by Marios Christou and David Ramena. It's an Earphones winner, read by Derek Perkins, and it's available from Tantor Media for 10.5 hours of unabridged listening. Next in Drama and the Classics, we have Notes from the Field. It's by Anna Deavere Smith and Marcus Shelby, and it's an Earphones winner, read by Anna Deavere Smith. This audio version of an accidental, fact-based one-woman play, acclaimed, fact-based one-woman play, is performed by its author and star. In it is an excellent and quite intense. Part of it is about Freddie Gray, who died of spinal injuries in 2015 after being arrested by Baltimore police. It is also about activism, school, prison, and race, among other things. Smith reveals much about her characters through her command of voices. She varies her delivery to become the minister, the witness, the mother, the NAACP official, the student, the educator, the politician. She is equally effective portraying a man or a woman and people of different backgrounds. This is a first-rate performance of material that is not always easy, but is always worthwhile. Gretchen Schulte wrote that review of Notes from the Field by Anna Deavere Smith and Marcus Selby. It's an Earphones winner read by Anna Deavere Smith, available from Random House Audio for 3.5 hours of unabridged listening. Next in drama and classics, we have Mr. Samler's Planet by Saul Bellow. It's an Earphones winner read by George Guidel. It's as much about the language in Saul Bellow's 1970 novel as it is about the philosophical, and what better narrator to handle Bellow's complex characters, ideas, and luscious layering of words than audiophile golden voice George Guidel. Arthur Samler is a Polish refugee, a Holocaust survivor with only one good eye, but that doesn't keep him from seeing. Guidel portrays the septuagenarian Samler as an observer of the human condition. He calls himself a registrar of madness. He worries about everything from human optimism to human suffering. He is sorry for all and sore at heart. Samler's encounter with a pickpocket, his anxiety about his daughter, his other familial concerns, Guidel recounts them all, but it's Bellow's language that resonates in this expert performance. That review by yours truly, Sandy Henschel, is of Mr. Samler's Planet by Saul Bellow, read by George Guidel. It's an Earphones winner, and it's from Blackstone Audio for 10.5 hours of unabridged listening. And this is a reminder that you are listening to Audiophile Magazine's October-November issue, and it is the magazine that helps you to discover the world of audiobooks. Next we have Please Continue by Frankie Baslow, read by a full cast. With admirable vocal naturalism and almost maddening nonchalance, Matthew Wolfe, Will Britton, and other members of an ensemble cast bring to life the true story of a series of obedience conformity experiments performed upon students at Yale University in the early 1960s. The repeated phrase, "Please continue," takes on an eerily sinister quality as the professor and graduate students prod their subjects to keep on administering electric shocks, no matter their apprehension, when participating students answer questions incorrectly. The shocks were faked, as were the students' reactions. The dialogue is realistic, chilling, and thought-provoking, as moral questions about authority, human dignity, and individual freedom are grappled with by the entire ensemble of narrators. The play makes a fine addition to LA Theater Works' Relativity series, which focuses on plays with a science theme. Brian Price wrote that review of Please Continue by Frank Baslow with an ensemble cast from LA Theater Works. It's available for 2 hours as an audio program. Next we have Kane by Jean Toomer, read by Bonnie Turpin, Myron Willis, and Lisa Renee Pitts. Narrators Bonnie Turpin, Myron Willis, and Lisa Renee Pitts work together to create a vocal chorus that is equal to these vivid short stories written by one of the luminaries of the Harlem Renaissance. Listeners will be grateful for this talented cast who capture the diverse characters in these narrations. From young women forced by necessity into prostitution and then childbirth, to white employers who become intertwined in the lives of their help, the characters in this powerful collection still resonate. Willis lends his baritone to the judging, gossipy townspeople who feature permanently in many of the stories. Turpin and Pitts are as capable as ever in these female-centric works, which provide a sensory experience of African-American lives in the 1920s. Mohana Rajakumar wrote that review of Kane by Jean Toomer, read by Bonnie Turpin, Myron Willis, and Lisa Renee Pitts. It's available from Blackstone Audio for 5.75 hours of unabridged listening. And finally, we have three stories and 10 poems by Ernest Hemingway, read by Stefan Rudnicki. With his distinct resonant delivery and uniquely American vocal presence, Stefan Rudnicki is well suited to narrate some of the first published works of an American master. First published privately in 1923 with a limited run of 300 copies, these works touch on the themes Hemingway would return to again and again: man versus nature, masculinity, and the personal ravages of war. In the collection's centerpiece, My Old Man, Rudnicki deftly blends the innocent tone of a 12-year-old boy who is trying to fathom the death of his father, and the terse, straightforward style that would make Hemingway one of the most important literary figures of the 20th century. Brian Price wrote that review of Three Stories and 10 Poems by Ernest Hemingway, read by Stefan Rudnicki. It's available from Blackstone Audio for 1 hour of unabridged listening. Okay, now we will turn our attention to romance and Caitlin Augusta's column Tease. In certain circles, a person can be entirely understood within the answer to just one question. What are your fandoms? For those who don't have a fandom or don't know why they have one, I would describe it as a specific topic, be it entertainment, books, sports, or something else you would joyfully attend a conference entirely devoted to. Some fandoms with serious fans that come to mind are Harry Potter, Star Wars, Jane Austen, Marvel, DC, Red Sox, Yankees, and many specific authors have them too. You know you have a fandom when you have a costume or t-shirt, have attended the themed public trivia nights, or post on the message boards of your singer author's website. I'd like to give a shout out to all the superfans with some audiobooks celebrating pop culture, whether it's Broadway, Jane Austen, or vintage movie references. This is a group of audiobooks, and it's both quirky and sympathetic to the enthusiast in us all. Keep loving your fandoms and love your listening, so says Caitlin Augusta in her column, Tease. And now we start our reviews, and our first one is Getting Schooled. Wright Brothers, Book One by Christina C. Jones, and Earphones winner read by Sean Crisden and Adinrele Ojo. Narrators Sean Crisden and Adinrele Ojo are a great duo who bring out the snappy comebacks and sexy back and forth of this contemporary romance. Reese, a teaching grad student, has her eyes on her studies and not much else, but she keeps clashing with one of her students in a battle of wills and wits. She may be falling for the gorgeous man in and out of bed, but neither of them is going to admit defeat easily. Crisden and Ojo are a dream team who employ a range of narrative tones and consistent character voices to keep the listener grounded in each moment. From the bickering to the intensity of the love scenes, both narrators deliver emotions that come through loud and clear. Amanda Lynn wrote that review of Getting Schooled, Wright Brothers, Book One by Christina C. Jones. It's an Earphones winner, read by Sean Crisden and Adinrele Ojo, and it's available from Tantor Media for 5.75 hours of unabridged listening. Our next review in the romance area is Father of the Bride of Frankenstein. It's by Daniel M. Kimmel, read by Benjamin Fife. Narrator Benjamin Fife impressively delivers this unlikely pastiche, which combines Father of the Bride and Frankenstein. Lab staff go too far and reanimate Frank, a monster. After Frank proposes to Samantha Fine, the action really begins. Intense wedding planning and offbeat humor, including some political satire, propel listeners into the story. Fife's best creations are Frank, who displays a delightful sense of humor as he adapts to contemporary life and chooses to convert to Judaism, and Phil Fine, the bride's father, who's continually calculating all things wedding. glimpses of Jewish traditions, along with the antics of ever-present media and Fife's timing, add to one's pleasure. Listeners will savor the ride, bumps and all, to a memorable wedding and an unbeatable conclusion. Susan Baird wrote that review of Father of the Bride of Frankenstein. It's by Daniel M. Kimmel, read by Benjamin Fife, and it's available from Daniel M. Kimmel for 6.5 hours unabridged listening. Next we have Aisha at Last by Uzma Jalaluddin, read by Roshni Shukla. Narrator Roshni Shukla's style lends an Austenesque air to this contemporary retelling of the rich boy meets poor girl trope. Aisha and Khalid are Muslims, Indian Canadians, and neighbors. They both struggle to reconcile their traditional upbringing as the children of immigrants with contemporary society that surrounds them. Shukla shifts between Aisha and Khalid's point of view, which are given in alternating chapters. Khalid's conservatism and Aisha's ambitions are brought vividly to life in Shukla's energetic telling. She also captures the differences between the younger generation and their mothers by characterizing the older women with slightly accented English. Rom-com fans will enjoy this updated version. Mohana Rajakumar wrote that review of Aisha at Last by Uzma Jalaluddin, read by Roshni Shukla. It's available from Penguin Audio for 11.25 hours of unabridged listening. Our next romance review is Where the Fire Falls by Karen Burnett, read by Anne Richardson. The serene grandeur of 1920s Yosemite National Park serves as an inspiring backdrop to Anne Richardson's thoughtful narration. Artist Olivia Rutherford reluctantly accepts a contract from Scenic magazine to paint park scenes. While at Yosemite, she encounters figures from her past she'd prefer to avoid. Richardson portrays Olivia as a young woman haunted by secrets, giving her the plaintive voice of a woman who feels fearful and trapped. Yet she yearns for a new start with park guide Clark Johnson and with Christianity. Clark comes across as conflicted yet methodical. Richardson gives him a slower, taciturn voice. Richardson also creates authentic voices for secondary characters, a Western drawl for Olivia's agent, a lighter, eager voice for Olivia's sisters. This is a pleasant, clean romance series suitable for family car trips. That review by Caitlin Augusta is Where the Fire Falls by Karen Burnett. It's read by Anne Richardson, and it's available from Dreamscape for 10.5 hours unabridged. Our next review is The Austin Playbook by Lucy Parker, read by Billy Fulford Brown, and it is an Earphones winner. Billy Fulford Brown narrates a glowing tribute to London's West End, full of drama, both on stage and off. Actor Freddie Carlton needs to choose, focus solely on prestigious dramatic roles or return to her beloved musical comedy roots. Theater critic James Ford Griffin, Griff to his friends, needs to save his family estate. Fulford Brown portrays Freddie as animated and vibrant, but still professionally driven, despite her cheerful persona. Griff is portrayed as reserved, level-headed, and somewhat inclined to be blunt. Their chemistry is undeniable and instant. Fulford Brown also delivers a stellar performance of Charlie, Griff's younger, somewhat feckless brother, who comes into his own. Kate Poley wrote that review of The Austin Playbook by Lucy Parker. It's an Earphones winner, read by Billy Fulford Brown, and it's available from Harlequin Audio for 10.5 hours of unabridged listening. Our next review in Romance Today is Waiting for Tom Hanks. It's written by Carrie Winfrey, read by Rachel L. Jacobs. Rachel Jacobs' energetic narration creates an enjoyable story that would otherwise be stunted by predictability in this rom-com about rom-coms. Raised on classic cinema, Annie is determined to find her own Tom Hanks. She begins working as an assistant to a movie director, a lively guy who could be Quentin Tarantino's vocal twin. Longing saturates Annie's voice as she dreams of finding her match, but things aren't as simple as movies make them out to be. Annie's character is balanced by those of her friend and her uncle, who radiate calm in their steady voices, a contrast to Annie's screeches, peppered with snotty, stuffy crying when things go awry. Full of great movie references, this story's sweetness is tempered by Jacob's dynamic delivery, complete with the secrets of celebrities shrouded in whispers. Amanda Costello wrote that review of Waiting for Tom Hanks. It's written by Carrie Winfrey, read by Rachel L. Jacobs, and it's available from Penguin Audio for 8.5 hours of unabridged listening. Well, that's our show for today, but I hope you'll plan to tune in next time when we have the new December-January issue of Audiophile Magazine. The winter issue is filled with author and narrator interviews, news about the audiobook industry, reminders about podcasts and Audiophile special online blogs, and popular Behind the Mic series. So for all your listening needs and recommendations, stay tuned to us here at Reach Out Radio for Audiophile Magazine. So until next time, thanks for listening. This has been Audiophile Magazine from WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. Audiophile is also available online at www.audiophilemagazine.com. The audio producer for this show is Maureen Rich, and I'm Sandy Henschel. For more information on any of the books you've heard about today, contact your local library, Library for the Blind, or your favorite local bookstore. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can download a podcast of the show at our website, wxxi.org.